Engineering management can be a lonely place. Welcome to Managers Club, where you'll find interviews with top engineering leaders and managers to help and inspire you. Listen to the real-life stories of successful and ambitious engineering leaders who are focused to lead their teams to bigger and better outcomes. This is Managers Club.
Today, I have Vishal Saxena here with me on the show. So welcome to Managers Club, Vishal.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to our discussion. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Maybe you could start out a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your current role, what you do. I guess a little bit of background on yourself.
Sure. So I'm Vice President of Global Sales Operations at Actana. Actana is an AI-based platform that enables customers to make data-driven decisions. And prior to joining Actana, I was at OpenText for 2 years managing the eSAS team and the SaaS service. And before that, I was there for over 10 years.
That's awesome. Yes, I was looking at your background. Maybe tell us a little bit more, like, how did you get into management? Like, how did you break into management? What was your motivation for getting into management and leadership?
Yeah, actually, I became manager by accident, but it may sound like cliche. When I started my career, I started as a shipping receiving for a local system integrator. And from there, I moved into help desk. And a couple of years later, I joined a small company, Brio Software, again, as an individual contributor. And after 2 years, that company was acquired by Hyperion. And during that integration, I was promoted to a senior manager managing the West Coast data center, managing the individual contributors as well as the managers. So like I said, manager by accident. And then a couple of years later, Hyperion was acquired by Oracle, and the economies of the scale changed. And all of a sudden, where I was managing 10 people, I was managing huge team, over 50 people when I joined Oracle, and that number changed to over 100 by the time I left. And
How many was it by the time you left? You said it was 50, and then it went to how many?
About 110.
110, okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, no problem. It was a very global, diverse team across the globe. And it's been a fun ride. It brings its own challenges, but I say it's the dirt that comes with the rain. And I love managing the team, mentoring the team. And that's how I continue to move forward.
Okay, that's great. Well, since you mentioned the challenges, maybe you could talk to us, what are some of the biggest challenges you face as an engineering leader?
One of the biggest challenge is people are still, or they still struggle to accept change. See, change is inevitable. It's going to happen. And sometimes you need to just take a step back and understand why the change occurred and try to be in the shoes of other people. But at times, it's very hard to accept that change. Certainly, I've been in those shoes where it was very hard for me to accept that change, but what helped me is to take a step back and see from my manager's perspective. Then try to motivate myself. Once you're able to do that, you're able to motivate others within your team. And if you don't agree with the change, don't stick around. It's not good for them. It's not good for you.
Do you have an example that comes to mind?
For example, since I was part of Oracle, organization changes were very often. Right, and you're moving from one org to another org, or you are being moved into different roles. And at times, you don't like to be in that role, but you're moved into that role. And for example, let's say you are managing a data center team, all of a sudden now you are moved into managing a site rather than managing the whole data center. Now you're managing fewer people, a smaller team. Sometimes people don't like that change. All of us where you were managing a large data center, a large group of people, all of a sudden you have been moved into a smaller team and managing a smaller group of people where you think that it's not bringing value to the team. And that's where people get very unsettled with the change. Sometimes people are thinking about the reporting structure or how many people they are managing and so on. And that's when it starts demotivating you.
I see. So that can be demotivating. Okay. Oh, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. You were going to say something more.
No, that was it. So organization is changed because I've seen that so often at Oracle. That's one of the things that came into my mind. But I'm sure there are other examples, and I think of it. I'm sure I can come to a few others. But definitely changes that impacts you directly demotivate at times.
I see. So these kind of reorgs and reorganizations were demotivating at times, potentially.
Correct.
Got it. Could you share with us maybe a lesson you have learned as an engineering leader, maybe some specific lesson you've learned?
Certainly, but let me first start that we are all humans and we all make mistakes. And I was leading one of the critical projects during the Hyperion and Brio software integration. And when I was promoted, like I mentioned, I was an accidental manager. So when I was promoting, I was more favoring the team that I came with, like from the Brio team, rather than giving equal value or listening to the managing them equally. I was a little bit inclined towards the team I used to work with. And one of the lessons that I learned from that was give your team the equal opportunity and get to know them. And people say team, what that really means. Team means transparency. Be transparent to what you're doing. Let them know what you're planning. Ease empathy. Show them that you care. Listening to them, have one-on-one with them. Appreciate their hard work. Celebrate their small and big wins. And M is about motivating. Guide them, create a safe culture where they can innovate while not be afraid of the failure. All right, so that's how I look at the team. And that was a lesson that I learned during that Brio and Hyperion merger that happened. And how you create that trust across when you absorb a team from others.
I see. So you absorb this team and this, like, treating them equally and being, like, fair with them and giving them all those same things. That was something that you learned.
Correct. That has stuck with me for the last 17 years now. Whenever I work with the team, I make sure that I'm being fair to everyone.
How long have you been a manager?
Give and take about 15 years now.
Oh, wow. That's a long time. You know, a very important part of being a manager is like hiring, recruiting. And then maybe you could talk a little about what's your approach to hiring and recruiting. This can be a real challenge, you know, in the tech industry, obviously.
Correct, yeah. So I look for three things, humility, hunger, and passionate. But it's very hard to judge a person in the first meeting. Like when I'm interviewing them, I'm looking for what are they passionate about? Do they have the hunger to learn new things? I'm looking for more of the soft skills at my level rather than digging down on the technical side. And when I can sense that the person I'm interviewing is hunger, even though he may not know everything and no one knows everything, but he's hunger to learn new things and is passionate about what they are doing, I'll definitely call them for the next round to meet the team to see, to judge on the humility part, how they interact with others in the team. Those are the three mantra you can say I look for when I'm trying to hire anyone in my team.
I see. All right. Now, I think so. You said that you've been a manager for a while, and you've managed like relatively large organizations. So I assume you've managed other managers too, right?
Yes, I'm a manager, the managers and directors.
Awesome. Maybe what would be your advice, maybe for new managers or managers who are just starting out to succeed?
I'll say there are three things that they need to look for, right? So learn to listen when they have one-on-one or when they are talking to them, give them undivided attention. That is one key. Second, empower them. Let them make the decisions. Manage the results, not manage the task. Otherwise, you are falling into the trap of micromanagement. And very important thing that that I think has helped me, be open for a critic. I'm not perfect. And it gives me an opportunity to grow and learn from my team and from others. So those are the three things. Learn to listen, empower the team, and don't micromanage, and be open to a critique.
That's great. You know, one thing managers, you know, they have a lot of stuff on their plate. There's always a lot of things to do. I wonder, what's your workday like? You know, how do you manage your time, your emails, your calendar? I mean, tell us a little about, do you have any specific tips or strategies or techniques that you use?
Yeah, so right now my work schedule is a little hectic because I'm trying to onboard myself. I'm trying to get into the same speed as others. But there are certainly certain three things, again, that I do. Prior to the week of the start, like on Sunday or Saturday, I will sit down and look at what are the meetings that are planned for the next week and take out the notes where I'm looking for some updates or action items for the team or follow up on the issues that may have occurred the last week. The second habit that I have cultivated in the last two or three years that during the day, I always take a break of 30 minutes, midday, around midday, and go for a walk. That helps me clear my thoughts and think what I want to focus the rest of the day. Then on Friday afternoon, this is something that I've learned from one of my coworkers, is not try not to have any meeting after lunch and analyze the whole week, what kind of issues were there, what slipped. Self-groom yourself. Learn. I go and read articles, and that may help me in my current role or help me motivate others and pass on that to my team members or to my peers. And it's, like you said, it's a hectic world, but you need to give some time to yourself. You need to take a step back, and that's what I've done in the last two or three years, by taking a step back, walking away for a couple of minutes, and just going through the thoughts and emotions. Sometimes you are sucked into the high conversation, or very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a very crucial conversation, and you don't need to respond. Sometimes you need to take a step back, and these walks or taking a Friday afternoon, no meetings, has helped me to do self-reflection. And that would be my advice to the new managers or even the managers who have been managing people. Spend some time on self-reflection. That helps.
I think that's really great. Yeah, if you can take, like you're saying, 30 minutes a day or, you know, Friday afternoons to kind of reflect on stuff. So, you know, I often like to ask people, you know, if there's a personal habit that contributes to their success, but I think what I'm hearing from you is it would be self-reflection. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
That's great. Is there maybe some internet resource or tool or app that you really like, that you find useful, that really helps you in your professional work?
Yeah, generally I'm more active on LinkedIn than any other social app. You get to get the views of a lot of people, and you get to learn a lot of good articles that have been posted by different magazines like Forbes or CNN or CIO.com. I'm part of those groups, and LinkedIn is one of my favorite apps. That's where I'm more socially active almost every day.
Okay. Yeah, no, LinkedIn is great. If you could recommend like one book to managers, what would it be and why?
If it has to be only one book, it would be definitely Crucial Conversations by, I think, Kerry Patterson and Joseph Greene. I mentioned earlier, communication is one of the key challenges, and that interpersonal communication is one of the skills that many of us fail. Sometimes you're doing a one-on-one, or sometimes you're in the heated conversations, or you know that you're going into a conversation that could get very sensitive. I still have come through that book. It's a very good book. I'll advise everyone to at least read once, Crucial Conversations.
Yeah, no, that's a totally great book. What would be your approach to maybe mentoring, coaching, and developing members of your team? Like, what do you do on that?
Let me first start by saying that for me personally, mentoring and coaching are not one and the same thing. Mentoring comes from trust, and it's a long-term relationship that you build and develop. So, like, I have employees who are still remain in touch with me after 17 years, and we have a mutual trust and respect, and we share thoughts and ideas, and that's where the mentoring comes in. Coaching, on the other hand, is like guiding individuals and helping them through the difficult situations, what they are doing. It could be a project, it could be a communication issue, or between the two individuals. That's where the coaching comes in a heat of the moment, where you're guiding on a weekly basis or daily basis to the team. And how do I coach them? Again, be a good listener, and I always make sure that I have one-on-one meetings, at least with my directs, and if possible, I try to do skip-level meetings to some of the key people in my organization once a quarter. And another thing is, the second thing is, if you promise that you'll get back to them, make sure you do. Follow up on your promise, because you are also setting the precedent around this, that you are holding them accountable. If they are telling you something that they'll get back, they should get back. So make sure you also follow what you say or preach. And the last thing, like I said earlier, create a safe culture. Don't slap them on their mistakes. Correct them, guide them, have a discussion with them. They are in the company for a reason, and you just need to make sure that you are utilizing the skills and the strengths they were hired for. And that's where the coaching comes in. Mentoring is a long-term relationship, building the trust, and coaching, I guess, is a pathway to that mentoring, where you're building those through the conversations on a weekly or daily basis.
So I see you have a lot of experience in, you know, director IT operations. Like, what would be helpful for engineering managers or leaders to know about maybe like IT, DevOps, that maybe they, anything they maybe like generally misunderstand or don't understand in working with your teams?
So let's compare the two stages of development, right? Before the cloud came in, all the software development was being done. So the engineering organization will develop a product, and they will do a product delivery, and their work was done. And they will give it to the IT for the product deployment into the data center. Now, okay, when the deployment was happening, there were running issues, there were firewall issues, or the database documentation wasn't there, or some permission issues, and the product go live, it suffers, because now IT is struggling to get the product installed the way they think it should be installed, and the product development team made assumptions, or they build the product how they think will be deployed into the production. So even though there was communication, but there was no integration of IT infrastructure and development together. That cohesiveness wasn't there. We were just throwing over the wall to IT, and then IT was struggling. And there's no one to blame. That's how most of the organization worked. And the reason DevOps picked up is, the way I looked at it, is moving operational team more towards left, what that really means. Moving towards left is basically getting closure, getting closer to development, and using their development framework to integrate the infrastructure. So when development team will start planning for the new product, IT is sitting with them and suggesting, okay, or working with them collaboratively, hey, this is the size of a VM that we'll need, these are the firewalls that we'll need, and they will package it together. So move the operational side more into the left, where they are doing planning, development at the same time, and integrating the development and the IT infrastructure as a core now that is called, together. So by the time it gets into deployment stage, all those issues that we used to run, IT used to run in the past, are now resolved earlier in the pipeline. So the speed to market has reduced from months to maybe hours. And that's why the DevOps engineers or SaaS companies are looking at that technical finding the right people with that skill set is challenging, because sometimes people are just core development or core operational. But finding a people, a person, or team who has done both is always challenging.
I see. I get it. So you're saying previously in the past, development teams would develop something, kind of throw it over the wall to IT, and there would be kind of problems. And now it's moved more towards where you're saying IT's moved kind of move more to the left, like with DevOps, and is working more closely with the team, so that it's just the deployment and everything and the infrastructure just is kind of just part of the development process. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. So now, yes. Yeah, so now the IT, our operational team, is using the framework of development organization, how the code, how the framework, how they develop the code, what are the sprints they are using, Agile, Scrum, Kanban boards, and using the same methodology to integrate, bringing that infrastructure into the code and building it together and getting it ready for deployment.
Got it. Well, Vishal, thank you. It's been great to have you here. If people wanted to learn more about you, what would be the best way to connect with you or learn more about you?
Yeah, they can always find me on LinkedIn. Like I said earlier, I'm very active on LinkedIn, and that's where they can get to know me and learn more about me.
Okay, awesome. I'll include a link to that in the notes. Thank you again so much for being on the podcast.
No, thank you for inviting me. Thank you for inviting me. These are great questions, and I have definitely struggled in some of them in my early careers, and I still do. And those times, I go and talk to my mentors and clear my head with them.